Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the Fan at Dallas, joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105 through the Fan at Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network, and he is the godfather, really, of the Cowboys draft community. That's kind of like, I mean, that will be one day years down the road, Brian, hopefully like 40 years down the road. Whenever we get your obituary, it will say that you were the godfather of the Cowboys draft community. That's how I view it.
I've already asked David Hellman to do my eulogy.
Oh, yeah? I mean, he edited so many of your articles. That
He edited every article I wrote for DallasCowboys.com. I'm so grateful for him for doing that, because as folks that have followed along, I can't put two sentences together. And I go back and I listen to our broadcast here, and I'm almost embarrassed at times when I'm like, last night I was listening to our show from the other day, and I'm like, gosh, I sound like an idiot. No. I have good knowledge. It's just getting it all out there. But I'm proud of the draft community. I really am. I'm proud of the Jeff Kavanaughs, the Kevin Turners, the Dame Bruglers. Very proud of you, Aisha Morrison, Kyle Yeomans and what he's done. Nick Harris is brand new to it. Wolchuk has taken this and gone forward. I'm proud of all the men and women out there that really have a love and a passion for the draft and do the best they can to get, whether that's the YouTube or somehow you hook and crook some tape somewhere. You're at least trying to learn about the players, and that part I appreciate very, very much.
Absolutely. And it's all you gave them all the investigate and educate itch, Brian. That was you. So, Brian, today we are going to look. We are, as of yesterday, we are 2 weeks out from the NFL draft, from the first round of this draft. So today, kind of what I want to do before, obviously, we get into the mailbag at the end of the segment, I wanted to take a look at, hey, inside of 2 weeks now, let's really drill down on who we think these names are going to be at 24. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's been pretty broad. The last several years, really since Mike McCarthy got here, it's not been totally easy to just nail down who they're targeting with their first pick. And I think in a lot of ways, they've kind of just let the board come to them and then just, you know, let things progress and then figure things out as it goes along, that they've got their stack and they're ready to attack it in any way that they see fit based on who falls down the draft board to them. So, Brian, let's just talk about some of these names that we think could be options for them at 24. Because I think right now for me, if I were to look at the list of players, I think realistically, man, Brian, I don't know. I think I've maybe got it narrowed down to like five guys, I think, roughly, that I think it could be there at 24. So for you right now, who is your odds-on favorite? And then we'll talk about guys that are around there. Who do you think is the favorite to be picked by the Cowboys in just under 2 weeks?
I think I can name the position more than I can name the player, but I think they're going to take one of these centers. And I think if Barton from Duke is on the board, I think they hand that card in. I'm a little bit taken to not being really sure about Powers Johnson, but I have a feeling that he is going to be in the mix. I think one of these centers is going to go at 24. I'd like to believe that, and on the draft show yesterday, we traded back with San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that seemed to work out, you know, pretty well for us there by taking the BYU offensive tackle. But
Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah. But Barton was gone, and we determined that Powers Johnson, that maybe that we'll take one of these tackles and see what happens at center. And we'll see if in fact, Frazier or Van Pran or one of those guys could maybe get to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out that way. It wasn't Frazier, but we did have an option that we looked at, you know, pretty strongly there. So, but I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a center, Bobby, if I had to say right now, which direction they're going to go, I think center's the position.
See, and it's interesting to me, the Cowboys historically have been all about contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at, okay, what puts the Cowboys in the best possible position for success to be able to have their contingencies in place, given the way their roster looks right now? Because I think we've all figured out it's offensive line feels like the pick. And I think that they've clearly been hunting that position. But when you look at it, Brian, I think that, all right, given the collection of guys you have on this roster right now, from center out to the left, center, left guard, left tackle, what is, if I play Tyler Smith at left guard, do I feel like I have an NFL starting left tackle on my roster right now?
No.
I don't think so. If I play Tyler Smith at left tackle, do I feel like I have an NFL starting left guard on my roster right now?
Yes.
I think you do feel like TJ Bass can do that for you. Yes. If you need.
Yes.
So to me, if you're all about contingencies and you're watching the way this board falls and you say, man, we need a center, potentially a guard or a tackle, depending on how we play things. To me, the thing that would make the most sense from just a personnel standpoint would be, hey, let's for now operate under the assumption Tyler Smith will play left tackle, TJ Bass will play left guard, and then let's go hunt our center. Yeah. Let's do that. And then I think that covers your bases a little more, because if you're taking a left tackle, you still have to go take a center.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you take a center, you've already got left guard and left tackle. You've got a contingency in place to figure that out. Is that sort of why you come down on the position that you think center is the odds on favorite right now?
Yeah. The way that we did the mock draft yesterday is we got fortunate. We took a defensive tackle with the third round pick. We took Jackson we took the back Benson, and then with the extra pick that we got, we took Jackson, the defensive tackle from Texas A&M. And that was a consensus that we were looking at. You know, we were thinking, let's, for the exercise sake, let's see if this thing will stretch to where we could get Norzad from
Penn State. Yeah.
And we had to sit the whole entire fourth round, and he fell to us. So we caught a break there with that, the way it worked out. I wouldn't have a problem if we took the BYU tackle,
Suamataia,
And then you took Norzad, say, if you did happen to get him in the fifth round. I wouldn't have a problem with that because I'm looking at a second round tackle. I'm looking at a fourth round center is what I'm looking at there. So that didn't bother me as much. And I was able to address the one technique at now, I wasn't trying to convince the room about taking the tackle there from Texas A&M.
McKinley Jackson.
I didn't have to. I wasn't like, you know, beating my fist on the table. I just said, listen, let's look at the options there. I didn't want anything to do with Mason Smith. I said, if we could address a 326-pound guy that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage, I made my points. I think everybody in the room was okay with Jackson as well. So we took a gamble on it. It's one of those picks, I think, that if you made it in real life, people would probably say you reach. But we don't have a lot of options there at that one technique. And so I felt like that as a group, we felt like we kind of had to address it there. But to get back to how this thing can play out, yeah, I think you have options at left tackle. I think you have options at left guard. You don't have an option at center right now.
Yeah, and I think they like the development potential of a guy like Brock Hoffman on their roster right now. But I think if you were to say,
but
hey, where do I feel most comfortable? Like Tyler Smith at left tackle, TJ Bass at left guard, Brock Hoffman at center. Which do we feel the least comfortable in? I think they would say Hoffman at center.
That's it. And there's a lot of people out there that I trust that are very, very, very high on these offensive linemen. But then you start to talk about Brock Hoffman. It's like, man, he's a hardworking guy. Going to give you everything he has. It's not to the level of, man, I really, really like Powers Johnson. He could do this. I really, really like Barton because he could do this. I really like Frazier because he could do this.
Yeah.
I really like Van Pran because he could do this. When you start to talk about Brock Hoffman, hardworking guy, gives you everything he has.
Glass eater.
See, it's not the same tone, if I can use the right word there.
He'll get every last bit of return out of his talent. That's what Brock Hoffman will do.
We're not saying anything bad about Brock Hoffman, but when we compare him, I was asked, I was on with Vach Lombardi this morning before our show, and Vach and I were talking, and he asked me what I thought about Awesome Richards. And I said, let me try and compare Awesome Richards to Rosengarten from Washington, Fisher from Notre Dame, Foster from Missouri. Let me try and compare. See, Awesome Richards is not our BYU guy. I love when you say his name for me every time.
Suamata Ia.
I love that. I don't think that Awesome Richards is better than him. I don't think he's better than Memes. I don't think he's better than Morgan. I don't think he's better than Guyton. See, my comparison is, when you start to talk about, okay, just keep Tyler Smith at guard and play one of these other guys, I would rather play one of these other guys that I'm thinking about, and the center's the same way. I would rather play with Barton, Powers Johnson, Frazier, Van Pran, and even Norzad than I would Brock Hoffman.
Yeah, and I think that's why it feels like they've definitely, or at least for, not that they have, it feels like for me, and I think for you and a lot of other people, we're starting to narrow in on, okay, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, those names right there, are they feel like they're in the running potentially for you in the first round with the Cowboys. The question then becomes, what if you're not comfortable with Jackson Powers Johnson's medical?
Yeah.
What if Graham Barton goes ahead of where you're picking, or even still, maybe Jackson Powers Johnson's medical is fine and he goes ahead of you too, and then you're talking about you're missing the two center options. What do you do then? Well, we're going to talk about that, but first I want to remind you that you're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, Brian, so two names that we're talking about in the general area of 24 that we think makes sense for the Cowboys are Jackson Powers Johnson, the center at Oregon, Graham Barton, the center at Duke, who's played left tackle the last several years, but played some center the last five games of Duke's season in 2020. When you look at the tackle position, because I would assume tackle would be guard doesn't feel like as much of a thing that they would, maybe they would look at Troy Washington as a guard. Maybe they would look at, you know, Fuaga. I don't know how they would view different guys. Latham. Maybe they would say, oh, that's a guard. And if they slide down to us, that's it. But in general, if it's not one of those two centers, who are some of the other names you think that we should say, hey, these might be in the area of 24 and we probably need to keep an eye on the Cowboy connection there. You've already mentioned one, Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. They, you know, he's somebody who has been connected to the Cowboys and, you know, I think has a very high ceiling. But I mean, he's what we're looking at probably tackle there. I don't look at him as a guard at the next level personally. So if you're drafting Suamataia, that's the idea that he's going to be your left tackle of
he's
the future.
Tackle, yeah, in my opinion.
Do you think that's a legitimate name at 24? Or do you think that's a trade back option for them?
I think it's if under the scenario that you gave me earlier, where Powers Johnson was gone, Barton was gone. If it came down to Frazier or the BYU tackle,
Suamataia, yep.
I think I would take Frazier. And the way my I'm starting to stack my board, Bobby, and I've gotten through the first two rounds of my board. And the way I look at it, I have Frazier at 34 and Suamataia at 42. So I have Frazier 34 and the BYU tackle at 42. So on
and I'm a big we've talked about it a ton. I'm a big Kingsley Suamataia fan. He's player 18. And I think I'm higher on him than the Cowboys are or anybody
and
like.
And you know what? That's great. That you know, I see what you're doing there, and you know what, if the you know, everybody, I don't think anybody, if you went around the league and says, give me your top 10 tackles, I don't know if any team has the same 10 guys at tackle.
Right.
I think it's almost like a position like quarterback. It's almost like a position. I think at wide receiver, you could probably have a similar group. Tackle and quarterback and probably these cornerbacks would be different, a different list of guys.
Let me ask you here. I'm just going to throw out a name. You tell me if you think that it's reasonable.
By the way,
that
if it's the surprise player for me, if it wasn't an offensive player, I think Cooper's in the mix there. I think Cooper's
interesting
in the mix
as a trade back or as a pick at 24.
I think if they got completely wiped out, him, maybe Murphy.
Byron Murphy at Texas.
Texas, I think those might be two guys. If they were hunting defense, those are the two names I think I would keep an eye on.
Let me name just offensive line prospects at you real quick. You tell me if you think there's a realistic chance, not a Hail Mary, but a realistic chance they get to 24. Joe Alt, no.
No.
Talese Fuaga.
Man, they're playing it like it's going to be that way.
You think that he will get to 24?
No, I don't. I don't. But they're
not realistic.
Yeah, they're treating
him like not realistic.
Yeah, they're treating him like, you know, by a 30 visit, by a visit at the combine. They're treating him, Fuaga, like he is going to potentially be there for them at 24. I've always thought that was a trade up guy for me.
What about Fatanu, Troy Fatanu from Washington? Do you think it's realistic that he gets to you at 24?
I think there's a possibility, yes.
Okay, that sounds like a better possibility than at least Fuaga for you.
Yes.
Latham. I don't think Latham gets to 24.
No, I don't think he does either.
Olufashinu, I know that there's been some – his stock's fallen a little publicly, but I still don't think that's –
I don't think he gets to you, yes.
So, I mean, we're realistically, Brian, at this point, looking at the names that could be there. Mims, Guyton, you think those are realistic?
Realistic, yes.
So, are there names that need to be kind of coalescing around outside of the center names? If you get wiped on the centers, are the names we need to be looking at Troy Fatanu at Washington, Kingsley Suamataia, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton?
Yes. Yes, all those.
Now,
names.
How much of a projection is there? Are any of those guys, any of those four to you, guys that can play guard?
Well, they think that Fatanu can.
I think Fatanu can play guard. That's where I have him primarily.
Yes. I think that's kind of where I would draw the line. If you know, but you didn't mention Morgan. They probably think Morgan could play the Arizona tackle.
I do. I just don't think I don't think they would pick Morgan in the first round.
I don't think they would either. From all the intel we're starting to get on that.
And I think that when you look at, okay, so let's say Fatanu can play inside at guard.
Right.
And the other names that we're talking about here, Suamataia, Mims, Guyton. Mims and Guyton, you're talking about having them flip sides in all likelihood. These are guys who played right, who you're now going to ask to play left. So the only, you know, the projections that you're talking about here is that if you're taking Guyton and Mims, you're asking them to flip sides. Fatanu, do you think the Cowboys would play him at guard and Tyler Smith at tackle, or do you think they'd play Fatanu at tackle and Tyler Smith at guard?
I think they'd play Fatanu at tackle.
And so Fatanu at tackle, and then Suamataia at tackle. So let's look at like the breakdown of what they're looking at. Do you think that would give any weight to them when they're trying to make a decision? Let's say all four of those guys get to them for some reason. If they've got them all kind of jumbled up close together, do you think Suamataia and Fatanu get an edge over the other guys because you're not even asking them to flip sides? Whereas like Guyton and Mims, it's like, I'm asking them to do something on the other side of the formation that they didn't do at college. Is that something that you think that resonates with them?
I think it would resonate. Sure. Sure. I
think that it's interesting because Guyton and Mims are probably, look, I mean, I know we've talked about how scary Mims is in a way because he's, you know, a guy who has such little tape out there from his time at Georgia, but I think most people feel like Mims and Guyton are further along as players than Suamata is, for instance.
Sure.
But there is a little bit of a reliability of, like, Suamata can play left. We know he can do it. Fatanu can play left. I think Fatanu, to me, is easily the best of those four.
Yeah.
That's the guy that I'm really high on, and I'd love to have him here. The only problem then is just it doesn't totally answer your center question unless you're comfortable with Hoffman playing there or you're comfortable with Bass and some of the work that you've done with him to cross-train him. If you say, well, we think Bass can play center, which do you think is more likely? If they were to take somebody like Fatanu, do you think it's more likely they would just roll with Hoffman at that point, or they would say, look, we think Bass is a more pro-ready player, so we're just going to try to have him work at center where we've been getting him some work already?
I think they would try and work him at center, but I still would consider drafting one of these guys. I feel like that the Penn State center,
Norzad,
Limmer from Arkansas, there's some quality centers in this draft. I don't know if cross training a guy would be the best fit there. I would like to have a guy. That's one of the things why I was high on Frazier over Barton at a certain time, because I'd never seen Barton play center before. You know,
yeah.
Which I think he could absolutely do. But to me, give me the opportunity to draft one of these centers. And if the others turn into depth pieces, Hoffman, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that more so than if, because I know on my board, I've seen guys that can play center and play it at a very high level.
Now I feel like, Brian, would you say that you think their pick comes down to one of these six names we've talked about then? Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Troy Fatanu, Kingsley Suamata, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton. That's the collection of players you feel like it's likely to come out of. So outside of that group, if we're talking about a trade back or maybe a way that they could surprise us, then the other direction you would go there, you mentioned Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker at Texas A&M, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle at Texas. Is there anybody else you think we need to have our eyes on, an edge rusher, a corner that you think, hey, if that guy slides, or hey, maybe they like him a little bit more, or look, maybe they view center as such a position of need. Maybe they do say, Zach Frazier, we're going to take you late first round. Are there any other guys that stand out to you as just names we should have rattling around as safety nets?
I wonder how the health of Latu from UCLA is going to play.
Yeah.
I wonder if it is too much this is a top 10 player that all of a sudden we're looking at it 24 because of medical.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, but I think if they're going to take a defensive player, I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think it's Murphy, Texas, three technique, or it's the linebacker Cooper from Texas A&M. I think those are the only two defensive players I think they would take that aren't offensive line type guy. I think we're really, really focused on this offensive line at 24. But if there was a surprise pick, I could see one of those two guys being the pick.
So those are some of the names that we're kicking around right now that we think are the most in contention at the moment. And as we get closer to the draft, we'll sit here, we'll run through a mock draft exercise and kind of go through all seven rounds, kind of take a look at things. We'll do one with no trades, and then we'll do one with trades as an option, and then we'll get you ready. But it'll be good. Brian, this is the time of year Brian starts stressing guys because he falls in love with guys that, like, then it's they never end up in the building, and he sits there and he, head in hands when he watches guys he likes slide a little and they get snatched up or they get he loves this man, and he's already
I made a career doing that. Like, I always talk about the pin throw.
Yeah,
there's some pin throws in my day. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I could absolutely see that. You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast, the Love of the Stars and Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky,
co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our Dean Julia Love of the Star mailbag. It's where we turn things over, as I like to say, to our dear sweet listeners and get their thoughts, their questions, their comments. First one here from Jonathan Lewis. Do you think Jonathan Brooks would be a first-round talent if there was no injury history?
Tell you what, man. Guy's a hell of a player.
High character player, too. Guy teams really like.
Guy catches. Guy runs. It's a shame. Like I say, Vach Lombardi and I were talking about this morning. He hates running backs. I love running backs. It would be really easy for me to say, yeah, you know me, I love Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, coming out. No, he was one of my top players. I'm not afraid of running backs. I think they're a vital part of what you do. I understand the pay scale is not, you know, paying him is not the best thing to do, but they've proven that. But I will say that, yes.
Just the talent alone. Yes. You would say first round player.
Yes. Yes. On my board, I would have put him in the first round. But the injury, I'll tell you what, Benson's a damn good player, too.
I like Trey Benson. He's the running back at Florida State.
Florida State, right.
I don't think this is – I think there's been a little bit too much hate on the running back class. I think there's some decent players in it.
Free agency proved that they could still get paid.
Yeah.
You know, it just when if you don't have one, but – there's a good group. This is a good group of running backs. It's not as top heavy as it was last year, but you have to respect the guys in this class. There's some shorter guys. There's some tougher guys. There are guys that can catch. There are guys that will run over people. There are guys that will make people miss. I think teams are going to be happy with the guy that they're able to grab when they're able to grab them. And I'd love Brooks. I'd love to have Brooks.
I do too. I think he's great. He's my top graded running back for a reason. And that's Texas homerism, I promise. Let's go to a question, Brian, from our good buddy Dean Julia. We haven't gotten a Dean Julia question into the Dean Julia Love the Star mailbag for a little bit. As of today, what is your gut feeling percentage chance that they actually trade back? So we talked about it as an option, 60. But what do you? So you think it's more likely than not they move back?
I think they're hunting.
I think they'd love to.
They're going to work the phone. This is something I did for a living because I was in pro personnel. So I would always throw chum in the water. I would always call every team and say, "Hey, listen, you know, if you're interested coming up, you got our number. If you're interested going back, we got our number." I would remind every team, that was something my responsibility was to the Jones family in that war room, was I would work those phones. And you got to drum up business. You got to try and get people interested in, you know, but their guy has to be there. You know, their guy, like San Francisco, we did it in our mock draft yesterday. San Francisco came up and they got an offensive tackle is who they drafted. And so, you know, but you never want to trade away from great players. But I think Dallas is hunting. I think they're hunting that late three or that four on to start day three. So yeah. I would say, do they want to move back? I would say it's 60% that they can get that done.
Yeah, I think they'd love it if somebody presented them the opportunity to pick up that fourth rounder that they lost in the Trey Lance trade. If they could get that back, given where some of their depth issues are right now, I think that they would love that. Speaking of the depth issues and starters and how many different players you need from the draft, this question from Joe Porter, how many starters and at what positions do the Cowboys need to draft? He says he thinks that you need two offensive linemen, center, and then a left tackle or left guard, running back, linebacker, defensive tackle. So that would be five starters you need to come away with, and you don't have a fourth round pick. Brian, how many, realistically, I think if you were to look at four?
Yeah,
four. Where are those starters?
Well, I think the linebacker one is a fringe one for me right now. It could be, I think, maybe three. You talk about the, now, depending on what they do at tackle, but tackle, center.
Here's how I look at it.
What's to do with Mozzie Smith? That's the thing about.
That's a big question. Yeah. I think that, I mean, as of now, Jordan Lewis is starting at corner for you. Yeah. I think you could. Jayron Kearse is not returning. I think you could improve at safety. I mean, you've got Wilson and Hooker on the roster.
That's a position we're not talking about very much.
No, and we probably should be. I think it's interesting. I think if you ask the Cowboys right now, they said, hey, if we had to go out there and play football tomorrow, assuming everybody's healthy, we have to go out there and play football tomorrow. Where do we feel like we don't have a starter? If we put everybody on there, where would it be like, man, we got to get somebody else there because this is not going to work? I think you're looking at center because I think they'd say Bass plays guard, Tyler Smith plays tackle, and I think they'd say we can do that. If you consider a third receiver in a three-receiver league a starter, they might say receiver outside of Cooks and Lamb.
Right.
They need a running back. Mm-hmm. I think they would say, look, if everybody's healthy, Overshown and Kendricks can play linebacker for us.
Yep.
And they would say Smith and Odighizuwa are going to play tackle for us.
Yep.
We've got our edge rushers, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. I think legitimately the Cowboys would argue on their side, look, we need depth for sure, but we only need two starters. We need a running back and we need a center. Yeah. And I think that's why we all keep talking about Graham Barton potentially at 24 and Jonathan Brooks at 56.
Yeah.
Because those are where your starters come in. And That's just how I look at it. I mean, I think you definitely...
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I don't... Like you said, the one technique thing until we figure out what Mozzie Smith's situation is...
They need depth regardless because a lot of those positions only go as deep as the starters. The linebackers only go as deep as the starters, it feels like. The defensive tackles only go as deep as the starters. I mean, this is something that you need depth.
Watch how aggressive they are after the draft. Signing, they will be the team that spends the most money on undrafted free agents. They will spend $100,000 to get a guy if they have to, because those are guys off their draft board. You know, say they have six picks, they will sign three to four other guys, and they'll think like, we just got 10 picks. That's where their depth is going to come in. They're going to be super aggressive signing those cheaper guys to contracts and see if they could hit on a couple of them.
Last question here from Jimmy Lindsay. Jimmy says, I think cornerback is a sneaky need. What round, if any, should we be looking to pick one? And do you have any names we should take note of? He says, all the best. He's listening to us from Scotland.
Oh, very nice. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what, this draft really, really stretches throughout some really good depth. If you pick up you pick up an extra third or fourth round pick, or maybe even you get a fifth round pick, you could sure do some really good work there. I'm a fan of guys like, and maybe I might have this guy a little bit low for me, but I'll tell you what, I mean, a little bit low for, or excuse me, a little bit low, but he should maybe go higher in the league is my guy from Rutgers, Max Melton.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5'11", he's 187 pounds. I think he's a fearless, confident defender. The coverage skills are there. I love the versatility he plays with. He's comfortable with bump and run. It's kind of in Mike Zimmer's wheelhouse right there. He likes to be at or near the line of scrimmage. He can play tight. He disrupts routes. I have him. I might have him where I don't know if I can get him. I have him in the fourth round, but you might have to go a little bit earlier on that with him. As far as that type of a player, he's really, really, really good. Nehemiah Pritchard from mm-hmm. Auburn
Pritchard, yep.
is another one. I don't know. I might have him again, probably too low, maybe a little bit higher. But he's 6 foot. He's 190 pounds. He plays left and right. He'll line up in the slot. Press corner. Footwork is solid. The mirror, the match, all those things are really, really good. I'm trying to find guys that have a little length to them, but also are good press man guys. So Melton, Pritchett, those types of guys that maybe in that middle of that board are guys you need to keep an eye on.
Did you like, and I know another guy you like Kalen King at Penn State.
I do like King. And the thing about with King, and I never moved him. I'm going to give the player his due there. But what I like about him is his willingness to make a play on the ball. I mean, mm-hmm. he sees it. He's on the attack. He is a physical player, both run and pass. He gets a little handsy, carrying routes. He gets away with grabbing, pulling, hooking receivers. But he does a really good job of playing the ball down the field. And he had a few interceptions in his career, but he's had his share of misses, though, too. You can kind of see sometimes that the ball skills weren't always there. I know he didn't run great at the combine. I needed to follow back up and to see what that speed was. But I think his speed is good enough to allow him to carry some guys. But the high football IQ, all those things that I think are things that Mike Zimmer would absolutely love in a player.
Yeah, and I think that if you're looking at just some of the names that could be out there, or guys, if you're talking about traits guys that I think might be available on day three, if you're able to pick up an extra pick or something like that, I do like as a lotto ticket Cam Hart from Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and I mean that's a big guy. That's 6'3", 202, and somebody who I think that fostering those traits and developing him in the hands of Mike Zimmer, I think that that's a worthwhile stab. If you say, hey, we need some more corner depth, maybe they want to move on from Eric Scott. Maybe yeah. they look at things a little differently now that Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, those guys are out of the building. But
yeah,
I think he's a good player.
Can I throw another name at you?
Yeah.
Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville
mm-hmm.
is another guy. This guy transferred from Florida State. He was a boundary corner, which means boundary corners play into the sideline. So they play the short side of the field. When you hear somebody say he's a boundary corner, he plays on the short side, opposite what they call the open side of the field. But he's also used in the slot. He's not the biggest guy. He's 5'10", he's 194. He's really best when he can play man coverage. And I don't, like I say, we need to figure out how well he really, really runs. Notre Dame sent a slot up the field. It ended up in a touchdown, but I do feel like he's got quick feet and I think he's got some change of direction. I think he's willing to step up. He's not afraid to mix it up. He's got feet to mirror on the outside and can stay in receivers in the short intermediate areas. And he's got really, really good instincts. So the Notre Dame thing kind of threw me off a little bit, but I like him as a nickel due to the quick feet, the toughness and the ball skills. We'll see about the speed on him, but Jarvis Brownlee, from Louisville is a guy you might want to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. That does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're getting ever closer to draft day. It's Christmas time coming up for Brian Broaddus, and he's just hoping he gets his Red Ryder BB gun. That's what he wants in the draft. For Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Belt. We will talk to you guys again later.